Let's turn our attention now to Donald Trump and, of course, his impeachment trial starting in the Senate tomorrow. And I'm joined on the line by U.S. politics correspondent Kate Hunter from Bloomberg. She joins me from London. Kate, so lovely to talk to you this afternoon.
Thanks so much for having me, Mel.
People need to brace themselves, don't they? Donald Trump's name is going to be in the headlines for at least the next couple of weeks.
Yes, absolutely. I think this is, you know, the first time we're seeing in 20 years a Senate impeachment trial. And so certainly it's going to garner a lot of attention, and people are going to be, in the U.S. at least, tuning in to their televisions to watch this unfold live. And I think it's going to be quite dramatic, potentially.
There's been some pushback over the media restrictions. What access will the media have?
Well, typically, the media gets a lot of access to senators when they're on Capitol Hill. They're able to, you know, go right up to them as they come and go from the Senate chamber. That's not going to be the case, at least not as with some limits. They're going to actually be keeping the media penned into specific areas outside of the Senate chamber. There still will be opportunities, if you're a crafty reporter, to try to grab a senator as they're coming and going in other places in the Capitol. But immediately outside the Senate chamber, there's going to be a lot more restrictions in terms of where the media is able to stand, and the part of the goal of that is to allow the senators to come and go from the floor for proceedings that are typically thought to try to be more somber or should be more somber in terms of while the trial is going on and the senators are acting not so much as lawmakers but as jurors. And so I think that's the idea, to sort of keep the media hordes at bay a little bit more directly outside the Senate chamber to try to create more of kind of a reflective and less political atmosphere.
But Trump himself has kind of gathered together this political team that is a panel on Fox News, many of them legal analysts on the channel. Is that an appeal to his base, do you think? And do we have an indication of what this team's defense is going to be?
Well, I think that we're likely to hear from Trump's defense teams. You know, we've already heard from them a bit on the weekend shows and in interviews since they were named at the end of last week. And I think we're likely to hear an extension of what Trump himself has been, the case that Trump himself has been making for many weeks now, which is accusing Democrats of essentially engaging in a political exercise, trying to come up with what they've characterized as basically sham allegations against Trump to try to make headway in the 2020 election. And so I would expect that kind of an argument to continue, along with an assertion that Trump has done nothing wrong, that his, you know, phone exchanges with the Ukrainian president don't amount to any kind of a quid pro quo and don't constitute any sort of wrongdoing. And so I think that would be kind of the two-pronged message we should expect to hear from Trump's legal defense team. But to your point, I do think that some of the selections that were made, given, you know, ties to Fox News and that sort of thing, are a reflection of trying to make sure that the folks that are representing him in the Senate are people that seem credible to his base and would already be considered to be reputable to the people that he wants to be energized by these proceedings that are unfolding in the Senate and be, you know, spurred to turn out and vote in favor of him on Election Day.
It does become a very partisan thing, despite, of course, all the senators signing that oath of impartiality. 100 senators, 66 are needed to impeach him. I think it's 53 Republican senators, if I'm right.
That's right. And so there would need to be a fairly significant number of Republicans that would have to side with Democrats in order to get the numbers that are needed. And so it's widely considered a foregone conclusion that Trump is not going to be convicted and likely will be acquitted by the Senate. So I think it would be very surprising if it doesn't go that way.
There was this nonpartisan government accountability officer, nonpartisan, you know, saying that, yes, Trump did break the law, releasing that report last week and saying he did break the law by withholding this aid to Ukraine. Does that have any bearing at all on what's happening on Capitol Hill?
I think it's certainly a boost for Democrats, you know, to have that report as part of their, you know, their armor going into this, their fodder going into this trial. But I don't think it significantly shifts the landscape. You know, we didn't hear any Republican senators coming out in the wake of that report being released saying that this has significantly changed their minds or changed their vote in terms of how they would consider the evidence. So I don't think it really changes the outcome, but it certainly adds a bit more fodder to what Democrats have at their disposal heading into this. Now, part of that is going to hinge on whether or not the Democrats are able able to negotiate their way into calling witnesses and submitting evidence rather than just having both sides present arguments. As of now, the Republicans who control the Senate are saying they really just want to have both sides present their arguments and then have a vote. And so, you know, things like the GAO report that you're referencing that was released last week may not actually be even formally introduced as evidence as part of this trial. And so we have to see how that all plays out as well.
So it comes down to the documents and the witnesses that are allowed in this trial. So how much subpoena power, how much power does the Chief Justice, who's kind of presiding over this, have to call witnesses, to force documents to be presented?
Well, it sounds as though it's likely to happen under the rules that Senator Mitch McConnell, the majority leader, has laid out, is that at some point there's going to be potentially a vote on calling witnesses or and submitting documents on allowing that to happen. It's not likely that Democrats are going to get the votes they would need in order to force that to happen. I think whether they do, the senators to watch there would be a couple of moderate Republicans, Mitt Romney of Utah, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, and Susan Collins of Maine, who have the potential to swing that in the other direction. But so far, there's no indication necessarily that they're going to go that way. And so I think in light of that, you know, the Chief Justice's role, John Roberts' role, is going to be more as presiding over this and sort of keeping the proceedings, you know, flowing and moving forward rather than, you know, taking it off course that it's really up to the senators to vote on what type of course they want to follow.
Kate Hunter, thank you. From tomorrow, I'll certainly be in front of my screen with a bowl of popcorn. Thank you, Kate Hunter from Bloomberg, live from London there.